This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
While the disciples were telling how they had seen Jesus risen from the dead, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified, and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things."
Praise
the gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ, resurrected from the dead, Lord and Savior of all. Amen. How would you like to wake up some morning and read reports that you have died? According to Wikipedia, there have been hundreds of premature notices of people's deaths. Some examples: Pope John Paul II, a couple of times. George H.W. Bush, Joe DiMaggio, the musician Neil Young, several times. Hillary Clinton, actually by an ABC affiliate. Bloomberg published an obituary for Steve Jobs more than 3 years before his death. Great concern, Britney Spears and then boyfriend Justin Timberlake were reported to have died in a car crash, but don't worry, they are very much alive. And of course, Mark Twain, who said, "Reports of my death are generally exaggerated." Now, several years ago, I read a story about an Army veteran by the name of John Crabtree. Mr. Crabtree was on permanent disability as a result of wounds he had sustained in Vietnam. And as a result of these wounds, he had been receiving long-term disability benefits from the government. Then one day, out of the blue, he received an official notification from the government of his own death. For some reason, there was a news report saying that he had died, and the federal government somehow had picked up on this report. Needless to say, this was quite a shock, and needless to say, it was going to have a somewhat profound impact on his benefits. So Mr. Crabtree was faced with the task of proving he was alive. Turns out it is hard to prove such a thing to the federal government. That was a problem for him. He wrote a letter to the government stating that he was very much alive and would like to continue receiving his disability benefits. The letter did no good. He tried calling the government. Have you ever tried calling the federal government? It's required the patience of Job and the persistence of Noah. The phone calls didn't change the situation either. So finally, as a last resort, Mr. Crabtree contacted a local television station. They ran a human interest story about his situation. During the interview, the reporter asked him, "How do you feel about this whole ordeal?" Mr. Crabtree chuckled and he said, "Well, I feel a little frustrated by it. After all, have you ever tried to prove that you are alive?" Now, that seems to me the exact problem that faced Jesus as he stood before his disbelieving, joyful, but disbelieving disciples. They thought that they were seeing a ghost. It's not unreasonable for doubts to persist in all of us, frankly. But they've been told that Jesus was alive twice already by credible sources. First, they heard about it from the women who went to the tomb on that first Easter morning. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them found the tomb empty and were told by an angel that Jesus was alive. So they returned and told the apostles the news. But Luke tells us, these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. And then there were the two men who unwittingly met Jesus on the road to Emmaus. Jesus traveled with them for a while, opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and broke bread with them. And it was at that moment, when they broke bread, that it was revealed to them that they had been with their risen Lord. They traveled back to Jerusalem immediately, and they went to tell the 11 that they had seen the Lord. They were another credible source. And in fact, their witness was what was going on when our reading from Luke's gospel picks up this morning. Luke tells us that while they were still talking about this is the two who had been with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself came and stood among them. They were joyful, but still disbelieving. So, a la Mr. Crabtree, Jesus decided he needed to prove he was indeed alive. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And in case that wasn't enough, he asked for something to eat. They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. I want you to ponder with me a moment. I heard someone ask a curious question this week about this very situation. When Jesus showed the disciples his hands and his feet, what did they see? What did Jesus' hands and feet look like? Did they see open wounds? Did they see scars? Or did they see perfectly healed skin? No wounds, no scars. Luke doesn't tell us, so we can only speculate. But pondering this question led me to a more meaningful and deeper question. What is it that resurrection look like? What does the resurrected life look like? Let me tell you a story about an event that took place this past Wednesday. Many of you know that I have a son going to York College of Pennsylvania, about an hour north of here, and that he plays on the lacrosse team there. At their game last Wednesday, a remarkable thing happened. Cole Fenton scored a goal. Why is this remarkable? Well, Cole is a junior at York and has been a team manager for the past 3 years, but he doesn't actually play lacrosse. He has spent his life dealing with some physical challenges that he has had since birth. He has endured 26 surgeries as a result of these physical challenges. Among other things, the surgeries have left him with a fused neck and spine. Let me read you a portion of the story from U.S. Lacrosse Magazine about his goal. I'm sure most of you have seen this in your copy of U.S. Lacrosse Magazine. They write, "Cole Fenton entered York's Kinsley Field holding the American flag. He looked in front of him and saw his father smiling and on the verge of tears. Fenton had to hold it together. He had a job to do. Fenton, wearing the number 99 jersey, warming up before York's matchup with St. Mary's of Maryland, tried his best to downplay what was about to happen. 'Shoot, I have a game to play,' he said. 'I can't start crying now. We're about to score a goal. We've got to be good.' When the teams took the field, Cole took his position as a starting attackman. That is the forward position playing up near the goal. York's Billy Sasso won the faceoff, charged up the field, and dished the ball off to teammate Hunter Davis. Davis rushed toward Fenton, who crowded around him so that the St. Mary's defense couldn't see what was happening. Davis dropped the ball into Fenton's stick. It was a hidden ball trick. The defense didn't know who had the ball when the two of them turned around and ran in different directions. And it worked to perfection. St. Mary's defense thought that Davis had the ball. So Fenton, this team manager who was stepping onto the lacrosse field for the first time, sprinted unguarded toward the cage and fired a shot past the St. Mary's goalie, who also thought that Davis had the ball. The goal triggered a stampede from the York bench onto the field in celebration. Time briefly stopped for Fenton as his team rushed to him. "I kind of froze," he said. "I was just standing there like, what just happened?" It took a couple of seconds to process, but he had just checked off the top item on his bucket list. Cole was surrounded by his family, both literally and figuratively, for one of the best moments of his life. Now, this event was staged. After he scored the goal, the clock was reset and the game started in earnest. But to me, it was just a little glimpse of what the resurrection looks like. Brandon Childs, York's coach, said the following of Cole. "Cole means everything to our program. He is a constant reminder of the three pillars that create the culture of the team: humility, hard work, and serving others. Cole lives out these three things every single day. His role on our team is undefined. We call him a manager, but really what he does is he just runs around at practice and at game days serving everyone else. If you need water, Cole has it. If your helmet snap breaks, Cole fixes it. If you take a shot that rips the net, Cole ties it up. If you need your backup stick out of the locker room, Cole goes and gets it. Face-off guys need a whistle, Cole has his own whistle. He just serves whomever needs to be served." Now, I sat in with each of my boys when they interviewed with Coach Childs, and he struck me each time to be a man of faith. And I assumed that it was his faith that led him to have a message printed on the back of their scrimmage jerseys. The message was this: "Live simply, that others might simply live." There are other indications as well. Before every game, he gathers the team in a circle, on one knee, arms around each other's shoulders. And in the moments before the national anthem and the opening faceoff, Coach Childs gives the members of the team a moment of silence, so that the players have a chance to pray if they wish. Now, this whole event was made easier by the fact that the coach at St. Mary's is his brother, and he was able to see that his team played their part, and they played their own roles like heroes. After Cole scored his goal, and while the York players were lifting him up on their shoulders, the St. Mary's players quietly gathered to give each other fist bumps. To me, this is just one small example of what resurrection looks like. Cole Fenton is a man who serves others. Coach Childs turned it around and served him. The resurrected life is a life of serving others. It is a life of looking out for the well-being of the world around us. And it goes way beyond the relationship of Cole Fenton and his coach. The resurrected life is a life of taking care of those in need, of doing those things Jesus calls us to do, to feed the hungry and give drink to those who thirst, to take in the stranger, to clothe those who have no clothes, to care for those who are sick and those who are in prison, to love others as he has loved us, self-sacrificially. This is what the resurrected life looks like. This is resurrection, and Jesus calls us and challenges us to be his resurrection in the 21st century world. Amen.